If you brought your Bible with you today, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. I want to read 5 verses out of 1 Peter. As you turn to that passage, I want you to think with me around the thought of the gifts of Easter. Let's talk about Easter just a moment. Easter is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as, quote, "the most important and oldest festival of the Christian church, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I have a question as we think of that definition. In what way can the resurrection of Jesus Christ have any benefit on the life of a person now 2,000 years later? The question is there any personal benefit to the resurrection of Jesus? Or are we just out here today memorializing the life of one whom many people think is the greatest person that ever lived? I would submit to you that we have not come just to memorialize Jesus as one who's a great person that died in the past. It's not anything wrong with memorializing people who have lived among us, but our Savior is not dead in a tomb. Our Savior is alive, and there is indeed personal benefit today. Yes, 2,000 years later after the resurrection, there is something that can be obtained personally as to the living Christ and how He can change one's life. Would you let me read the text, please, beginning in verse 1. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." The first thing I want us to note out of verse number 2 is that Jesus obviously gives a new birth experience. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And when Peter wrote what he did in this second verse, he speaks of God's election, and then he speaks of the sanctification of the Spirit. Election is something that is in the heart of God, but salvation is something that is in the heart of the sinner. And you noticed in the text that this comes, this sanctification, as the Spirit of God, for the text said, sanctification of the Spirit, capital S. In other words, we find that the Holy Spirit takes the heart of man that is dead toward the things of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, something happens inside of a man's spirit or a woman's spirit or a young person's spirit, whereby he changes the life. And noticed in the text says, unto obedience. That word obedience is a word that means when God the Holy Spirit does what He does, the heart and life is so changed that for the first time ever, there is attentive compliance given by the person to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes in to take away sin's penalty from the past. Sanctification is purifying. Sanctification is where in salvation your past sins are forgiven and the heart is transformed so that there is indeed attentive compliance toward Christ now becoming Lord of the life. Sanctification means that your past is now gone and your present is now given an enabling that you did not know before the Spirit's presence in your life. The gospel, the story of Jesus, His perfect life, starting with His virgin birth, His sacrificial death, His substitution where He died in behalf of sinners, is a message that the Bible calls good news. It's God's good news, and it's good news to people of the human race who are born alienated from God so that you do not have to live and die under the sentence of eternal death. The Scripture is plain that he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Some of the dearest words that Jesus ever spoke is when He spoke to Nicodemus, saying those words, words that you must be born again. Nicodemus asked an unusual question when he said, is it possible to enter back into your mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, the Spirit goes wherever it listeth. The wind blows wherever it wants to. That it is the work of God's Spirit, whereby you don't know where He's come from, you don't know where He's gone, but you know that He has been there. Marvel not, I say unto you, Jesus said, you must be born again. So the first gift of Easter is that Jesus gives a new birth to the human spirit. Number two in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the second thing you notice with me is the second gift of Easter. Jesus provides a, King James Bible says, lively hope. The word lively means living. The word hope is confidence. In other words, Jesus, because He has conquered the grave, lives today and lives in the hearts of all who repent, He provides a living hope within the heart of the individual. Based on the resurrection, we have the actual assurance living within our heart. The assurance is not something that the church can give. It's not something that the preacher can give. It is the assurance that the Spirit of God gives within, as the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, says the Scripture, that we are the sons of God. We have an assurance that our sins past have been forgiven. We have the assurance of the Holy Spirit indwelling our bodies. When we have salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within the body of the believer. The body, the Bible says, is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So we've got the assurance that yesterday's sins are gone. We've got the assurance of today's presence of the enabling Holy Spirit, and we have the assurance of an eternal home in heaven. Jesus said to us, I go to prepare a place for you. He only goes and prepares that place for those who have trusted in His finished work. And He finished that work on Calvary. He cried out from the cross, it is finished. He gave up the ghost and died. He was buried according to the Old Testament's prophets. He came forth on the third day. He ascended some 40 days later. And Jesus Christ is one day coming again. Pandemic or no pandemic, Jesus Christ is coming. Number three, in verse 4. Two, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now here we find that Jesus grants an inheritance. Did you see that word in verse 4? To an inheritance in heaven, the verse says near the end. So the third thing we find is that Jesus grants an inheritance in heaven. Now let's talk about that just a moment. If your parents died or a friend died and left you $10, or a friend died or your parents died and left you $10 million, the one key thing that's the same for an inheritance is that you didn't earn it. You received it because how you were related to the deceased. And this is an inheritance that we did not earn. That's why the Scripture says it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest a man should boast. But look at the inheritance. He describes it. He says, first of all, it's incorruptible. That means it's not going to decay. It's not going to decompose. It's not going to decline. You may have received something in the past, and through dry rot or something, it just absolutely fell apart and was no longer any good. The inheritance that Jesus gives is incorruptible. But He also says it is undefiled. It is unsoiled. It is clean. It is pure. There's no impurities with it at all. He said it fades not away. That means it is perpetual. It continues unending. If you will, please, it is eternal. That wonderful verse that we learned as children if we went to church was that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have, now say it in your cars with me, ever everlasting life. Everlasting means it's perpetual, it's unending, it fades not away. And the last descriptive he gave, he said, reserved in heaven for you. To be reserved means that it is guarded, like a fortress or like the full military that guards something. They keep an eye on it. And in this wonderful inheritance, it is guarded. Nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to take it away. Time is not going to destroy it. Moths can't get it. Rust can't destroy it. It is absolutely reserved. And I like where it's reserved. It's reserved in heaven for you. Now, last but not least, look at verse 5. Who? Now, who's the who? Go back to verse 3. Blessed be the God in verse 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us. What is that word? Let's say it in our cars. Us. So back to verse 5. Who? That's us. Are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When He says who, meaning us, are kept by the power of God, kept means that we are protected by the very power of God. Did you know the salvation that Jesus gives is protected by Him? You really don't have to protect that. He's like a guard watching in advance for us. He's like the military watching out for anything that would try to harm or do anything to destroy. And He says it's by the power of God. Now notice those next two words are very crucial. Through faith. What is faith in that sense? Faith is this sense where you and I trust in God enough that we act on His truth. If you will act on the truth of God, God will always be faithful to His word. And sometimes we all become weary in well-doing. And we are told in the Scriptures, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. And the devil knows that one of his major objectives is to get you and me weary. We're up all hours of the night. We are called on by more people than we can attend to. We have health difficulties and our demands are greater than our bodies will let us produce. And he said, you need to remember something. There's somebody that loves you, that cares for you, that's given you the inheritance, and he is indeed keeping us. He is protecting us by his own power, but he does it through faith. He does it as you persevere and stay faithful to him. Now, let me tell you something. Two ways that we can get really messed up. God doesn't hold up his end of the deal, or you and I don't hold up our end of the deal. And I done read too much in the book now. God's going to hold up his end of the deal. The question is, am I going to hold up my end of the deal? Am I going to call him Lord? Am I going to be faithful to him? Am I going to walk with him? Am I going to do in my daily walk what Paul said to Timothy? And though he said it to Timothy because Timothy was a young preacher, it is a truth that can be said to any and everyone who seeks to serve God as he would have you serve him. You be instant, in season, out of season. You serve God when it's convenient. You serve God when it's not. You serve God when everything is going your way. And you serve God when things don't seem to be going your way. Why? Because serving God is the avenue of blessing. And when you turn away from serving God, you have turned to your own devices, and the arm of flesh is going to fail you every time. You better not trust your own. In fact, I'm going to conclude with a verse that many of you can quote from memory. It's exactly what Peter's talking about. Trust in the Lord with most of your heart. Is that what Proverbs says? No. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So in conclusion, what are the gifts of Easter? Jesus Christ gives a new birth to the human spirit. He provides a living confidence and assurance in our hearts. He grants us an inheritance in heaven, and he holds his children securely. I'm so glad on this Easter Sunday morning that the Savior who could conquer death can hang on to me. I'm grateful you and I don't have to hang on to him, because we wouldn't last till the day is out. But he will hang on to us. We are his children by grace for time and eternity, because salvation is his work in us, not our work in him. Praise be to God for the resurrection of Christ, for the reality of a Savior who lives in our hearts, and for in the good times and the tough times, when everything is healthy and well, and when the nation is under the confines of a pandemic, Christ is still Lord, and we will look to him in faith and assurance that this too shall pass, and one day, we don't know when, but one day he's going to call us into his presence. And if we will stay faithful in these days, we will be glad in that day that we have faithfully looked to him. Would you bow with me? And as you bow your heads with me, would you consider these closing words? Do you know Christ this morning? Have you sincerely turned your hearts over to him? Have you ever really said to him, "Oh God, I have sinned against you, and even now I'm a very selfish person and I want my way. And Lord, I'm tired of having me on my hands. I want you to take me off my hands, and today I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive my past, come into my present, be an enabling person in my life who enables me to face life and face death and face eternity, knowing that the one I'm turning my life over to conquered death and paid for sin. I ask you to be the Lord of my life, and I ask you, Lord, at the appointed time when you call me home, may I know that I belong to you and you belong to me, and that you've done a work of grace in my heart. May that faith that we read about, that confident assurance, and that believing you enough to take you at your word come to be a part of my life every day. And Father, I pray for these who have driven on this parking lot today. I pray you'll bless their homes. I pray you'll bless their health. I pray you'll bless their marriages. I pray you'll give to them what they need to finish out their course, as, oh God, I pray you will let me finish my course. May we come to the end of our days with heaven being able to bear witness that we fought a good fight, not a perfect one, but a good one, and that we finished the course you had for us, and that we kept the faith. I thank you for an Easter celebration for the resurrection of your Son, and I thank you that now 2,000 years later, there are gifts of Easter. May every gift that you've afforded be the experience of this people today. I pray your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, may I remind you to join Brother John every Sunday at 9 o'clock for Sunday school. Join us at 10:30 for a worship experience on Sunday morning. Join us Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then join us Wednesdays at 7. It's been a delight to see you today. God bless you. I love you.